I'm going to read now from 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Now, brothers, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved, if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain. For what I received I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Peter and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all, he appeared to me also as to one abnormally born. For I am the least of the apostles, and do not even deserve to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. Whether then it was I or they, this is what we preach, and this is what you believed. But if it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? If there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless and so is your faith. More than that, we are then found to be false witnesses about God, for we have testified about God that he raised Christ from the dead. But he did not raise him, if in fact the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You're still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are to be pitied more than all men. This is the word of the Lord. Hazel's going to bring us our second reading, which you can find in Luke chapter 24.
It's Luke 24, verses 13 to 32. On the road to Emmaus. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them. But they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you only a visitor to Jerusalem and do not know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. He said to them, "How foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus acted as if he were going further. But they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were open, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" This is the word of the Lord.
Bill's going to come and share the word with us now. Thank you, Bill.
Morning, everyone. You've all changed quite a bit since I was last here. Must be the sun, you've all tanned. Or you've been to that shop in Kendall where you can get that spray stuff on you. Anybody recognise this? It's the Ramblers magazine. It's called Walk. And in it there are lots and lots of interesting articles about wildlife and ecology and that sort of thing. And as you might guess, its main feature is walks. And in this edition, as well as walks in England and Scotland and Ireland, it describes walks in Canada and New Zealand and Spain. But there's one amazing walk that you'll not find mentioned in this or any other travel brochure. And it's that walk that has been called a voyage of divine discovery. It's not a celebrated walk like the Cumbrian Way or the West Highland Way or the Coast to Coast Walk. It's only 7 miles long. It's not very difficult. It's a walk that Cleopas and a friend were on when a stranger who they didn't recognise joined them, went from Jerusalem to Emmaus. But what made this walk a walk, a discovery, a voyage of discovery, was this stranger. This stranger who was the risen Jesus, the one whom God had raised from death to life. It was the presence of Jesus that made this walk to life for Cleopas and his companion. It was meant to be, it was expected to be, it was intended to be just an ordinary walk. But it turned out to be very different from that. I've been on numerous walks, walking being one of my main interests in life, but I've discovered that every walk I go on is different. It doesn't matter how many times you do the walk, it's different from the last time you went on that walk. Every walk that I take, and every walk that you take, offers the possibility of surprise. We can never be sure just how it's going to work out. It often becomes a journey into surprise, a journey into challenge and into unexpected experiences. Well, these two travellers on the road to Emmaus, they thought they were on an ordinary walk, on a journey which reflected understandably their mood, which was dismal and dispirited and depressed. For they'd seen their hero, their champion, their friend, the one they had become convinced was the Messiah, the long-awaited one. They had seen him crucified, and they were devastated. Messiahs don't end up on crosses. So it had all been a huge, embarrassing, painful mistake. Their great hope had evaporated before their very eyes, left them broken and bewildered. Which meant that this journey, this ordinary journey from Jerusalem, began in grief and sorrow. Two distraught people dragging themselves disconsolately along a dreary, dusty road. Two people who had lost all hope. But the great thing about this journey is that it didn't stay that way. It ended with celebration and with joy and the discovery of a newfound faith. Life for every one of us can be thought of as a series of journeys. We're continually moving from where we are at this moment to our next goal and objective. And many of those stages, which seem to us just to be ordinary, can be transformed by faith. In a flash, they can become extraordinary. They can, to our utter amazement, be filled with a newly acquired faith, with a fresh hope, with a deeper confidence. They can become for us a moment of discovery when we realise that there really is one who walks alongside us, and that that one who walks alongside us is indeed the risen Jesus. It is that that turns our walk into a walk from darkness to light, a walk from death to life, a walk from despair to hope, a walk from doubt to certainty. The miraculous change comes about when this stranger draws near and we recognise him. Now, on this particular walk, Cleopas and his friend discovered these three things. That death is not the end of life. Second, that a new dimension had been introduced to living. And third, that the risen Lord Jesus was equipped and empowered to redeem and restore everything on earth and in heaven. They were deep in conversation, talking about all the things that had happened when the stranger joined with them. Talking about all the things, Luke says, that had happened to Jesus. They couldn't believe that the stranger hadn't heard, didn't know. But they didn't know that he was the one to whom it had all happened. That this was the one, the only one who, having died on a cross, had been raised to life. They didn't yet know that he who walked beside them was the risen Jesus, the Saviour of the world, the one and only hope who could bring the great hope of life beyond the grave. That they discovered when they recognised him and received him. Then they knew that death was not the end. For them, and for all who in the future would believe, ahead lay resurrection life, life with God, which is the great discovery that awaits every one of us when we meet the risen Jesus who joins us on the road of life. Secondly, as they walked, Cleopas and his companion realised that resurrection life is a reality. A here and now reality. It's an alternative and exciting and revolutionary way of life that has been introduced to our world. A life full of energy and full of power that is driven by the Spirit of God. It's a life, they realise, which could be operative in them, sweeping aside their doubts and their fears and their sorrows. And the one thing that brought that life into being, was the stranger who they discovered to be the risen Lord. It was this that introduced them to God's kingdom, which they saw had now begun. The old world had passed. A new day had dawned. And they were a new creation. A people who God had endued with resurrection power. And you know what? The true church, the people of God, are those who have made that discovery. People who have met Jesus and recognised him to be the Saviour, the risen Lord, who have committed themselves to the following of his way. Together as one people, they seek in the new strength which God has given to them to carry out the task which God has given, which is to show to others how they too can make this divine discovery, can become followers of Jesus and his way, how their lives can be transformed by the power of the risen Christ who walks beside them too. We are called to be God's people and to do just that. But thirdly, what they discovered too was that the risen Jesus was Lord of heaven and of earth, and that he was the one who God had equipped and empowered to bring to completion what God had created and what had been spoiled. By his resurrection, Jesus had been anointed King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the one to whom every knee would bow, in heaven and on earth. And all those evil and destructive and malicious forces which for so long had spoiled God's creation and blocked the way to his coming kingdom have been overcome, have been conquered, and now God's program, God's plan, God's intention can reach its fulfillment. At long last, prophecy can be fulfilled, and a day come when the whole world will be filled with the knowledge of God as the waters cover the sea. What a tremendous discovery! The risen Jesus is now to rule the earth with justice and fairness and love. Creation is to be freed from slavery and decay and death. And we, through the power of the resurrection working within us, can be enabled to enter into that glorious freedom which God has prepared for all those who love him. This is how Paul put it in his letter to the Corinthians. Christ will overcome all spiritual authorities and all powers and will hand over the kingdom to the Father. The risen Lord must rule until God has defeated all enemies and put them under his feet. Which means right now, at this very moment, the power of the risen Christ is engaged in this awesome process of restoration and renewal. God is at work healing our broken and divided world. In spite of all the terrible things we read and hear and know about, and whatever you or I do in his name and in the power of his Spirit is helping to bring forward that time when God's resurrected world is indeed with us. Tom Wright, in one of his books, says, "The resurrection of Jesus launched a new way of life. All that stood in the way of justice and peace, all that belonged to the old world, to the past age, has been superseded by the new age. The powers of evil which had fueled injustice and oppression and inequality for centuries has been defeated on the cross. No wonder God's people say, Hallelujah, Amen. On life's journey, that journey which you and I take, like Cleopas and his companion, when this stranger who joins us is recognised, and we commit ourselves to walking with him and walking his way, we discover those same three life-changing things. That death is not the end of life. That a new power, resurrection power, has been released into our world. And that Jesus, the risen Lord, the newly crowned King of Kings and Lord of Lords, is at work bringing in the kingdom of God. And astonishing though it may seem, you and I are invited and empowered to help with that work. Let's just silently pray for a moment as we ask God to underline for us something God wants us to take from our worship this morning that is going to change our lives. Opening our eyes to new truths, empowering us with a strength and a power that is not our own, which is of God, enabling us to be witnesses of his kingdom that has come, the kingdom of love and justice and mercy and peace. And as we listen to and focused on and received God's word, we pray that God will hear our prayer. And having met us on the journey of life, enter fully into our lives and take us with him into the life of the kingdom of God that lies before us. And we give thanks to God that he has heard and answered these our prayers. Amen.